tonight, but by the grace of God, you are walking, living testimonies of God's amazing grace. Only by the grace of God. He's alive, he's real, he's moving, and as he is preparing us for his soon and imminent return. I wasn't aware that tomorrow was Rosh Hashanah. But that don't mean I wasn't ready for Jesus. Because the Lord is coming. And every opportunity we have, we need to make sure it counts. There's something unique about this day. You see, this day right here, it has never been before. And this day will never come again. And so your opportunities, what you do with this day in this hour, can make the difference for all eternity. Amen. So today counts. Right now counts. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, now. Everyone say now.
Now.
He said, now it is high time to wake up out of our sleep. For the day of salvation is nearer than what we believe. In other words, brothers and sisters, it's closer than we think it is. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen tonight. The question is, we've got to be ready. Hallelujah. And I believe it's God's will that we be ready. Amen. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor. Amen, Sister Brownie, for this wonderful invitation to be with you all on this special night. Amen. I don't take it lightly. Amen. I believe, I would venture to say that this church is very unique in that this is probably the only church in town that have Easter twice this year. Bad joke. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love the Lord and I love his word. We're going to go to the word of the Lord this evening, and I'm going to direct you to the gospel according to St. John. The third chapter, beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to read down to verse 10 of John chapter 3, verses 1 down to verse 10. Now the Bible says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus still didn't get it. He still didn't get it. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Art thou a teacher, a preacher, a bishop, a TV evangelist, and knowest not these things? Hallelujah. I feel like he's still asking that question today. And so for the next few moments, I want to speak to you on this topic. These things you ought to know. These things you ought to know. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, as we gather in your holy presence at the master's table to eat of the bread of life, Father, we come empty and hungry and desiring revelation and light and truth. Let the seed of your word enter into our ears and let it take root in our hearts. And oh Lord God, we pray that not one single person will leave this place the same way they came in. But Lord, work on us, shape us, mold us, change us, challenge us. But most of all, Father, save us. Make us ready for that soon coming hour when the trumpet will sound. This we ask tonight in the glorious name of Jesus. And let the church say amen. Now let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise because I'm hungry tonight. Oh God, I need to hear from you tonight. I need a word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you and you may be seated. Praise God. I come from the East Coast, the state of Virginia, a state full of revival. Much what I feel in Virginia is what I feel here tonight. And I feel right at home. I mean, there's nothing like being with God's people. Amen? God's people are the greatest people on the face of the planet. Amen. And I'm excited about the things of God. I am privileged. I am honored, amen, to be a child of the King. Jesus said to me, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. He could have looked over me. He could have picked somebody else, but he chose me. I wasn't even looking for God. I was out there in the streets. I was running in the nightclubs. Back in the day, I was a DJ. Believe it or not. I used to be in the clubs spinning record albums. That'll tell you how long ago that was. My family came up. As we came up, our religious connection was with the Jehovah Witnesses. I used to attend the Kingdom Hall. Amen. I'm telling you, God is a deliverer. You come too late to tell me that God ain't real. He reached down and brought me out of the darkness. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my foot upon a rock, washed my sins away, gave me a new name, gave me a new home, gave me a new destination. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above what we could ever ask or think. Oh, hallelujah. He's good. And I thank the Lord that he didn't just bring me to any old church. Because there ain't but one church. Jesus didn't build no churches. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Amen. There's only one church. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. One baptism. One God. One gospel, one plan of salvation. Glory to God. And I thank the Lord every day he brought me to the truth. And I know it's the truth because it's verified by the scripture. And I encourage people in these last days, we need to become people of the word. We can't be people of emotion. We got too much emotion in the church. Amen. If the preacher don't preach the way you satisfied, you're going to walk out of here depressed. If you don't feel something, you're going to walk out of here with your head hung down. Listen, if you don't get what you need from God, it ain't God's fault. He's here. Hallelujah. We got to be people of the word of God. Why? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Hallelujah. And there's a difference between being saved and being religious. And that's one of the biggest issues that we face is we got a lot of religion in the world. Got a lot of religious people. In service after service, church after church, all over this area, there are religious people. The difference between religious people and saved people is that religious folk, they go to church, but they don't change. They try to conform the word of God to fit them. But if you're really saved, I say if you're really saved, the word of God is going to change you to fit it. Hallelujah. I want the word of God. Hallelujah. And as we draw nigh to the end, when we come closer to the coming of the Lord, people's spiritual antennas are starting to go up. I'm seeing it. Cross denominations, people are starting to look our way. They're tired of all this mess. They're tired of all the compromise. They're tired of all the pulpiteers and the pretenders. And they're looking for real church. They're looking for a church, amen, that's going to preach the truth, whether it blesses or whether it blisters. They want a church, amen, where people's lives are going to be changed. And such was the case with this fella in the third chapter of John. Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was devoted. He was consecrated. If you would hang around Nicodemus and watch the way he lived, he was strict. He followed the law. He dotted every I and crossed every T. He dressed right. He looked right. He worshiped right. And if Nicodemus would walk in this church tonight, most of you will stand up and say, that man saved. But he wasn't. It takes more than being religious to be saved. It takes more than just going to church to be saved. And Nicodemus, something inside of him was missing. And the Bible teaches us that under the cover of darkness, Nicodemus made an appointment with the Lord. He came to the Lord undercover. Away from the eyes of his brethren, he didn't want everybody else to see he was coming to talk to this troublemaker. This particular evening, Nicodemus met Jesus, and I can imagine him sitting at the table. And Nicodemus, if you look at what he's saying in John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 2, there came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know, we don't want to act like we know, but we know. We don't want to admit we know, but we really know. And I'm telling y'all, they may laugh at us, they may make fun of us, they may say, y'all just a little old small church, but they know, I'm telling you, they know there's something different. He said, we know that thou, you a teacher. You're not just any old kind of teacher, but we know you a teacher that comes from God, because can't nobody teach like you. See, Jesus, Mark, you know, I wish they had CDs and recordings of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Couldn't nobody preach like Jesus. I mean, the best preacher we got can't compare to Jesus. Jesus didn't just preach the word. He is the word. Can't nobody preach like Jesus. When Jesus preached, nature stood still. When Jesus preached, the stars stood out in glory. When Jesus preached, the trees began to clap their hands. We know ain't no teacher like you that can do the things you do except God be with him. In other words, Nicodemus was he was putting it on him. He was just stroking his ego and telling him, man, you awesome. Oh, you are powerful. Oh, you are made. You are anointed. And you know, some preachers love that kind of stuff. Tell me more. Tell me more. But Jesus didn't pay none of that no mind. He looked at Nicodemus and went straight to the core. So I know why you're really here. You're searching for something. Jesus looked at Nicodemus. He opened his mouth and he said, verily, verily, the double amen. Truly, truly, except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom. I know you got your robes on, but that ain't enough. I know you've written books, but that ain't enough. I know you got a television ministry, but that ain't gonna get you in. Except a man is born again, you can't even see it. So it's a waste of time for you to sit there and try to figure everything out. You got to be born first. And that's what so many people mess up. They want to understand the intricacies of Scripture. They want to study all the things of revelation and the mysteries and the symbol. Preacher, explain this to me. Preacher, show this to me. I'm like, hold up. You don't need that. What you need to do is be saved. That's the first thing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's the first thing you need to do is get saved. Amen. That's the number one thing. And see, the problem we face in the religious world is everybody wants to be saved. Everybody wants to be saved. I was in one church service one night, and I said, let me show you, see a hand, all the hands go. How many people want to be saved? 99% raise their hands. 99%. There's always somebody in the church that ain't going to do right. All those hands went up. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But see, the problem is, though most people want to be saved, most people want to be saved on their terms. See, I want to go to heaven, but I don't think all that's necessary. And I want to go to heaven, but I don't think we have to do all that. They want to go according to their terms. Amen. So Nicodemus, there was something inside of him, a yearning, but he wasn't able to grasp it. Because he was on the outside looking in. See, when you're on the outside, you're still in darkness. And there are some things you are not going to get. There are some things you're not supposed to get. God set it up that way. You got to come into the light in order to comprehend what the Lord has for you. Notice what Jesus said. Now we're going to slow it down and chew it like a good steak. That's why some people read the Bible too fast. I look at the Bible like a good juicy steak. You don't just gobble it up. You pay too much for that. You want to cut it and you want to put it in your mouth. And you want to chew it real slow and get all the spices, all the juices. Woo, hallelujah. So, this thing is good. Now, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? He said, except, that means no exceptions. No exceptions. Except a man is born again, he cannot. Cannot what? No. Stay with the scripture. Cannot what? That means he blind. What is he saying? If you are not born again, you are blind. And you want to see on the outside, you can't see it. So Jesus said, look, if you want my promises, if you want everything I have for you, you've got to first do the first thing first. Amen. One guy came to our church, man, he had so many books. He was studying Greek mythology and studying the Mormons and studying all this false religion. I said, bro, why are you wasting your time studying all that mess? He said, well, I want to get an understanding of all the different religions so I know false religion when it shows up. I said, bro, you're doing it wrong. See, up in Philadelphia, they got this place called the Mint where they make the money. And when they make the money and they got these machines and they got employees that study the real thing. And they so good at looking at the real thing that when something fake comes along, they can tell the difference. Don't waste your time studying fake stuff. Get the real thing. Study the real thing. And you'll know when something wrong comes up. Amen. Man, he's studying all this stuff and trying to learn all this stuff. I said, bro, you know what you need to do? You just need to obey God and be born again. That's the first thing. Simple. Simple. That's the easiest thing. And that's the beginning. That's where it starts. I mean, it makes as much sense as a mother who's pregnant trying to feed baby food to her baby that is still in her belly. You can't feed that baby. It's still on the inside of you. It's got to be born first. Amen. So he tells Nicodemus, except you are born again, you can't see. You can't understand. You can't comprehend. It is not going to make sense because the carnal mind cannot absorb that which is of the spirit. And that's why Nicodemus asked him again. Oh, hold up. Born again? I'm over 50 years old. And you telling me I got to be born again? Do I go back to my mother's womb and be born again? He couldn't see. So Jesus said it. Let me break it down a little plainer. Let me say it this way. Verily, verily, except a man is born again of the water and of the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus, don't be tripping. That's what he said. Marvel not. Marvel not. Did I say these things unto you? See, look. That which is of the flesh, that's flesh. That which is of the spirit, that is spirit. That's why I told you, you've got to be born again. In other words, you were born in the flesh the first time. So now, ye must be born the second time in the spirit. The first time we came into this world, we came by way of two elements, water and spirit. Sure we did. That's why he said you got to come again the same way. You can't have one and not the other. Hallelujah. And they're both separate. They're not the same. There's a teaching out here that talks about, oh, when you water baptized, you got the spirit. No. Two different things. And it happened in the natural. On our first trip. Man, I tell you what, I learned some stuff. My wife and I, we was expecting our first baby. I went to school. I learned some stuff. I learned big words I never heard of before. Even had to learn how to breathe all over again. All that stuff. Man, I started reading books and listening to stuff and going to these classes. And I saw a video one time of a child in the mother's womb in the process of birth. Did you know that when we were born of the flesh, water was involved? When that baby was in the mother's womb, it was surrounded by a sack of water. And that water surrounded, that water immersed it, that water covered it. That's what the word baptism means. It means to be covered. It means to be immersed. It means to be so, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So that baby was inside the mother's womb, covered with water. Then when the time came, you know what they say, the water broke. That's a sign. When the water breaks, the baby's on the way. So the water broke and the baby came through the birth canal by way of the water. When that child was born, it was first born of the water. When the doctors held that little baby, man, when my baby girl, my baby girl came out into this world, I thought to myself, oh no, is she gonna always look like that? I'm like, Lord, what is that? She's like a lizard. The doctor said, oh no, she gonna be okay. I'm like, Lord, I wasn't prepared for that. They took her and they put her over here and nurses and stuff got all around her and I'm standing there. I had my movie camera. I ain't take no movies. I was too nervous. I'm just. And they working on her and working on her. And she was born of the water. But that didn't complete the deal. She had to be born of the Spirit. Now this is what blew my mind. Everybody say spirit.
Spirit.
The word spirit in the Greek comes from the word pneuma, where we get pneumonia. You know, it deals with the lungs, the breathing apparatus. The word spirit is translated from the word pneuma. The word wind comes from the word pneuma. The word breath comes from the word, you got it. Because there's a similarity between the wind, the breath, and the spirit. You can't physically see it, but you sure can feel it. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So the child is born of the water. Now it needs to be born of the pneuma. It needs to take its first breath. Now what amazed me was I'm thinking, wait a minute. You mean to tell me up to this time the child didn't breathe? All the time it was in the mother's womb, the baby didn't breathe air. I saw this video and they showed the baby inside and the camera closed up close to the baby's face. His mouth was open. Little bubbles was coming out. And the nose had this white mucus all up in the nose. The baby had not breathed yet. And so when the baby comes through the birth canal and is born of the water, the doctor takes the baby and he gets this little blue suction cup and he puts it up the baby's nostrils
and he sucks out the mucus. And then I never knew why they did it, but now I know. They smack the baby on the behind and causes the lungs to extract, and the baby takes his first. Woo, hallelujah! So when you come into the world the first time, you are born of the water and you're born of the pneuma, which is the same word as spirit. And when you're born of the spirit, my wife was, she was laying there, you know, and she had this, some kind of a, like a little tent thing. And she couldn't see beyond her stomach. She was looking, they took the baby and she was, is the baby okay? Is the baby all right? And nobody was saying nothing. And she was listening for a certain sound. Because when you get born of the pneuma, when you get born of the spirit, when you get the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord have mercy, there's a sound that comes with it. And the Bible said, blessed are the people that know that joyful sound. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, when you're born of the spirit, there's going to be a sound. I said, when you're born of the spirit, there's going to be a sound. Jesus said, it's like the wind. He said, it's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But you can hear the sound thereof. How do you know when somebody received the Holy Ghost? How do you know when somebody's born of the Spirit? I hear a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Glory to God. You're born of the Spirit. Ain't no guessing. Ain't no hoping. Ain't no I think I got it. These things you ought to know. Huh? You can't be. I fell out. I fell out. You know, no. It ain't no, I fell out. I used to fall out at the club. I fell out. No. You born of the Spirit? How do you know you're born of the Spirit? Somebody said, well, somebody said I was glowing. No. No. But there is a universal sign. There is a universal sign. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak in a new tongue. Do I have any tongue talkers in the house? Do I have any tongue talkers? Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! You're not going to get it. You're not going to understand it until you come here first. You got to come here first. Hallelujah! Pastor, I want to teach Sunday school. Oh, you got to come here first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want to get up and testify? No. You got to come here first. Amen. Well, brother, I got a license to preach. No. You got to come there first. You got to pass the examination. You got to pass the test. This ain't just for everybody. Except you're born again, you can't see it. You're not going to enter. And you know what I found out? I said, you know what I found out? God means exactly what he says. He means exactly what he says. It doesn't matter what they say down the street. It doesn't matter what Joel Osteen said. I won't go say nothing about him, but because I know some of y'all really like him. Joel Osteen, he seemed like a nice fella. I wouldn't mind hanging around him. Nice guy. Smile all the time. Good things to say, positive things to say. And all that's good. And I've listened to him before. And what he has to say has some value. But when it comes to this, I'm telling you what Joel said. He says it every time he's on. We never want to end this program without giving you an opportunity to make the Lord Jesus your personal Savior. Would you close your eyes and raise your hands? Lord Jesus, I receive you as my personal Savior. If you prayed that prayer, I believe you just got born again. Wait a minute. I looked in the Word of God, and the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Water and Spirit. Water and Spirit. You can't have Spirit and no water. You can't have water and no Spirit. You gotta have water and Spirit. Or you can't get in. But Lord, I've been pastoring a big church 50 years. You can't get in. God ain't gonna change it for the Baptist. He ain't gonna change it for the Catholic. He not gonna change it for the apostolics. His word is already settled in heaven. It will not change for nobody. All this denomination stuff, that don't mean nothing to God. That don't impress him. He don't care who your bishop is, what group you with. When you stand before God, this book right here is going to be on the table. And he's going to open it up. He going to lay down the plumb line and see how you measure. No exceptions. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, we need to be people of the word. These things you ought to know. You ought to take your Bible to church. Seems like the closer we come to the end of time, the less people bring their Bibles. What happened? I remember a time when you never saw nobody without their Bible. They wouldn't dare go to church without the word. Some of them were so bad they had the word in their car, had the word in the bathroom, took the Bible to work. Oh, but Brother Easter, I'm good. What you mean? I got my phone. That ain't no Bible. Hallelujah. We need to take that bread of heaven, hold it in our hand, and when the preacher is preaching, that word is going to come alive. It's going to jump out the pages. It's going to get in your ear. It's going to get in your heart. Then you need to have a pen or a highlighter. Start writing, coloring, underlining. Write in your Bible. It makes it your Bible. It makes it personal to you. We need to get back to that, not get away from it. These things you ought to know. Hallelujah. We are living close to the end time. We can't afford to compromise. We can't afford to let down on holiness. Somebody say holy.
Holy.
Some people think that's a four-letter word. Holiness is not out of style. God is holy. His word is holy. His church is holy. His people ought to be holy. It's so bad nowadays, you go in a church, you can't tell a church from a nightclub. Oh, y'all not gonna like me after this. Oh, man. These things you ought to know. Church ain't no social club. We don't come here to see what you're wearing. We don't come to get entertained by the preacher. Praise God. Oh, we got a guest speaker. Well, let's go check him out. Don't come checking me out. You need to come and check him out. He's always good. He's always on time. He's always got the right word. You better check him out. Oh, my. These things you ought to know. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, now, aren't you a teacher? Aren't you a minister? Aren't you an elder in the church? And you don't know this stuff? I remember when I was first starting out in ministry, pastor, it was about five of us young guys getting started, and pastor would give us homework. In this particular occasion, he said, now, I want you guys this week, your homework is to call three different types of denominations. Call them up and ask for the leader of that church, whether it's a bishop, a priest, whatever. Ask to speak to whoever's in charge. Introduce yourself and tell them what you're doing. You're a young minister. This is your homework assignment. And you have a question. Very simple question. The question is, what must we do to be saved? Simple question. What I liked about that question, it's a Bible question. Amen. If you can get it put on the screen for me, and this is where I'm going to end. It's a Bible question. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And when they heard this, something happened inside of them. And that's what the word is designed to do. If you go to church and the preacher preach and you don't feel nothing, you need to get checked out. Something wrong. When they heard this, they were pricked out. Preacher done stepped on my toes. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. and said to Peter, not only to Peter, to all the rest of the apostles. Men and brethren, here's the question. What shall we do? That's an important question. In fact, it's probably the most important question anyone could ever ask in a church service. Now, preacher, I like your suit. I like your Jerry curls. I like your diamond rings. All that's pretty cool. But I need to know something. What shall we do? Now, them preachers, I tell you, they get up and they give you spiritual therapy. This is how you overcome depression. And this is how you get successful in life. And all the Lord just told me, you're about to come into your season. Folks love that stuff. They love that. One time I was in a revival. I preached 45 minutes. I preached hard. And at the end of the service, people came up to the front, and one lady came up to me, and she said, Brother Preacher, can I talk to you a minute? I said, what is it? You got a word for me? I said, ma'am, I just been preaching 45 minutes. I got a word for you. Folks love that kind of stuff. You got a word? Speak a word. There ain't but one word you need, and that's what's written in this book. This is a more perfect prophecy. You don't need all that other mumbo jumbo stuff. Hallelujah. What shall we do? A Bible question. And I am of the opinion that a Bible question deserves a... Oh, Lord, have mercy. Glory to God. I don't care how many degrees you got. It don't impress me the finest Bible colleges you attended. I don't care about all the certificates on your wall. Answer the question, Rabbi. Answer the question, Bishop. And I tell you what, when we all gathered back together that next Sunday and gave our report, my mind was blown. All the different answers we got. If it's a Bible question, it deserves a... Are you ready for the answer? I can't hear you. Are you ready for the answer? Are you ready for the answer? Now, I gotta warn you. It's only fair. I gotta warn you. The Apostle Peter said, it's better for you to not have known than to know and walk away. So some of you may not want to know. Some of you may not want to know. It's better you don't know, because I'm getting ready to tell you. You got 2 minutes to leave. Ain't nobody leaving. Want me to tell you? The next verse, 38. Here's the answer. Then Peter said unto them, number one, what you got to do? Let me turn around. Turn around. Stop. Make up your mind. You walk in this direction. Repent. Bam. Put the world behind you. Put the kingdom of God in front of you. Forget those things that are behind and press on to the high calling of Jesus Christ. Turn around. You can do that. Oh, well, brother, you don't understand my situation. I don't need to understand your situation. You can turn around. Oh, but Brother Easter, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I got some issues. All of us got issues. All of us got problems. And the Lord knew about it before you did. When I came to the Lord, I had a problem. Mine was smoking. Weed. Act like you know. You better act like you know. And I had a problem. I couldn't quit. I couldn't stop. And I said, Lord, I'm going to turn around. I can stop doing this and I can quit doing this. But God, I got a problem with this. And you know what the Lord told me? And I'm going to tell somebody in here right now. The Lord said, you change what you can change. I will change what you can't change. Won't he do it? 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 Glory to God. He did it. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, God did it. So you do that. You do that. You repent. Then get baptized. Some people want to get baptized before they repent. No, that don't work. I'm going to try it out. No. No, you don't try God. You trust God. You repent. Then you get baptized. You get buried in that watery grave where they take the old you, the messed up you, the sin-filled you, and bury you in that water. And when you rise up a new creature. You rise up a new creature. Hallelujah. And then, this is for who? Every one of you. How many?
Everyone.
Who?
Everyone.
Who?
Everyone.
See, you don't have to study Greek to get that. Because you know who that means. That means every one of you. Oh, but I'm a visitor. That means you too. I go to another church. That means you too. That's the word, right? And when you are baptized, you got to do it right. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we church down the block, they got a problem with that. No, 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 no. We don't do it that way. Oh, you got a different way. We follow the Lord. We do too. So do them. We baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. I beg to differ. All you doing is repeating what the Lord said. You're not doing what the Lord said. He said, baptize all nations. You know who that is? Every one of you. In the name of the Father. What's the Father's name?
Jesus.
In the name of the Son. What's the Son's name? In the name of the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost's name? There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You ought to know this. When you obey God, God gives you a promise. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Musicians and singers, would you come? Let's go to verse number 39. This promise is to you, to your children, all those people out there, and all the Lord shall call. That includes you.
Next verse. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort. And the whole crux of his message was, save yourself. Save yourself, young man. Save yourself, young lady. All you religious people, you better save yourself. Can't nobody do it for you but you. Can't nobody get baptized in the name of Jesus but you. Save yourself. Well, I didn't come to church tonight for that. Well, what you come for? That's the problem with religion. You go to church and do nothing. But God is challenging us. He's pulling on us. Save yourselves from this untoward, ungodly, reckless generation. And one last verse. One last verse. Verse 41. And this is where the Bible becomes real. This is where it becomes more than just something you read, but something you do. Then they that, how? See, you gotta have a right attitude. Right attitude. Because it's amazing how some people will hear this message and they get all frowned up in the face. They start resisting. I know he's getting ready to call people up. I ain't going up there. Amen. Then they that. I'm so glad I came to church tonight. I'm so glad I heard that word tonight. These are the things I ought to know. I'm so glad he explained it. They that gladly. I receive it. I receive it. I don't resist it. I don't push it away. I receive it. I receive it. I see it, Lord. I need to be born again of the water and spirit. I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I need to be filled. I receive it, Lord. I receive it. And notice, and the same day. They didn't wait till the next day. Well, you know what, bro? I see what you're saying, but I got to go home and check this out. And the problem with some people, you've been checking things out too long. The same day, the same hour, they said, I see it, I believe it, I receive it. And they came forward. There were added unto them about three. Can you imagine what that looked like? 3,000, about 3,000 came forward. Baptize me. If the word says it, I'm going to do it. If I didn't do that, I'm going to do it now. Jesus is coming. He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. Why wait till the last minute? Why wait till you get hit by a car or you in a hospital with tubes running out your body? Why wait when you can't get to a baptism or you can't get to a church and you want to call the preacher to preach a last prayer? Folks laying up on their deathbed. He ain't got much time left. Call the preacher. For what? Preacher ain't going to help you now. Preacher, I believe, I confess, except you're born again. You ain't getting it, but I can't go now. I can't get out of bed. Please pray for me. Except you are born again. You can't get in.
But I can't do it now. But you had time. And some of your time is now. The same day. The same day. Let's stand. These things you ought to know. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. And you're going to be held accountable. Not by what somebody said. Grandma said, I don't care what grandma said. I love grandma, but I don't care what my grandma said. My pastor said, I don't care what your pastor said. I don't even care what I said. What matters is what does this say? We got to be people of the word. This you ought to know. You're not going to hear this message down the street at that church. They ain't going to preach that. You ain't going to hear it. You sure ain't going to hear it on TV. Ain't no way in the world. They won't even let them be on TV if they preach this. Oh, but there's somebody here tonight. God is calling you. Make a decision. Make it now. And you know something? You're only going to have two choices. God is giving you two choices. You've not been baptized. You may have been baptized. Some of you were baptized when you were children. You were young. But you live like the devil. That baptism don't count. You got to repent first. And you have not repented. And you live a life full of sin. Go to people's funerals. They can't say nothing good about them. So they say, he received the Lord at an early age. You better come with something better than that. So what are we going to do? We'll give you a moment to reflect. We're going to give you a moment to talk to God. Some of you have been baptized the wrong way. Some got sprinkled. Some went down to the lake, dipped you three times. Some got baptized and the man said, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. None of that's right. It's got to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. You're standing here tonight and you're thinking, I think I was baptized right. The Bible says, make your calling and election. You better be sure. And you can be sure. You can be sure. So we're going to take a moment and pray. And I want you, if there's sin that God brings it up, I want you to take it to God and say, Lord, I'm honest, Lord, I'm honest with you. You know, I'm sorry. I don't want to be like this no more. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to do it your way. I'm trying to live for you the best I can, but I don't have no strength. I can't do it. I need your spirit. Would you pray with me right now? Father, I come to you just as I am. I got so many faults. I've made so many bad choices. So much drama in my life. Everywhere I turn around, Lord, is darkness. And it seems like you're so far away. But I do believe in you and I know that you're near. And Lord, I'm reaching out to you tonight because I feel you reaching out to me. And God, I confess to you, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I'm broken. I'm walking in darkness. I'm blind. I admit it. I can't see. I try to read the Bible and it don't make sense. Lord God, I'm asking you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins that I know about. And Lord, forgive me of the sins I forgot. I need you, Jesus. I want to be real with you. I need you, oh Lord.
Change me. Change me. Help me. Deliver me. I choose you. I will obey you tonight. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And now, as they begin to sing, if God's dealing with you, don't be embarrassed. Step out from where you are. Come down to the front with your hands raised and your heart open and make a determination. It starts tonight. Not my will, thy will be done. If your word says it, I'm going to do it. I receive it tonight. I will obey you tonight. In Jesus' name. From all over this congregation, if you need to be baptized, would you come? If you've been baptized and you want to be filled with the Spirit, would you come? Come quickly, come gladly. We don't have all night, but we'll wait for you for a little bit. Will y'all begin to sing? We'll wait for you. Come on to the front.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for.
Holiness,
holiness,